Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio.
Schmabulous episode of
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You're going to tell this listening audience, who adores me, let's be honest.
Oh, behave.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm spreading my wing. This is me to the nth degree.
Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. We all had a good 4th of July, although I got to say, I'm over the fireworks, and hopefully tonight is a little calmer. Your thoughts, Anthony.
If only my dog could talk about fireworks.
Didn't like them.
Matter of fact, I went to let him out, and I caught myself closing off the bedroom door because I knew what he was going to do. Door wasn't shut good enough. He runs into the bedroom like a scared child. Wife is asking me, why is this dog in here? I said, because he got scared and I thought I'd shut the door and he came in here, opened it with his head.
I have to go out with Misty and basically just follow her. And she wants to come back, but if I'm out there with her, she'll do it. But it's just too much. Jeff lives out in rural America. Probably don't have to deal with it all that much, right? You're not.
No, there was some stuff, but it didn't last very long last night, and didn't go into all hours of the morning. Some of it was loud, but not much. It was okay.
Well, now that you can shoot off the aerial stuff,
it's manageable.
Were there any fires? What did Storm Team KWCHI Witness News have to say about that?
About what now?
Any fires?
Didn't see any of that. There were some. Wesley sent out a thing that they had 21 hospitalizations, but only one person has not yet been released, and that person needed surgery. So I don't know. That's all I heard about the fallout from the 4th of July.
My question is, where's all this money coming from?
My question is, was it Jason Pierre-Paul in...
I don't know.
Represent guy.
Jason Pierre-Paul, who got his fingers blown off by fireworks. Oh. I don't think that appeared to have happened in our community yesterday. But fireworks are still allowed
until
midnight.
Apparently Anthony thinks that was funny.
It's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, it is kind of funny, but not to Jason Pierre-Paul.
No, he put together a nice little career even after that happened and was productive and made a lot of money. So good for him.
There's many times that he blew up an offensive line, no question about it.
That was a good one right now.
Jeff?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Did you miss that?
Yeah, I did.
Why don't you ever say that?
What did you say? I'm dealing with some stuff.
You didn't
here.
Hear me?
You heard you.
I said, you're right.
No, I didn't.
You really didn't hear that?
No.
I said there's many times he blew up an offensive line. Good stuff.
I don't get it.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I get it, but why is that funny? He already made the joke, so it's
O-M-G.
Over and done with.
OMG.
Right. Thank you, Anthony. There is no question. I've decided the number of people who get me vastly outnumbers the number of people who get you. It's just not even
I don't
close.
Need to be gotten. That's not a priority
do you agree
for
with
me.
That?
Now he sounds like Tyler Perry's alter ego, Madea.
Does Madea say that a lot?
See, now he's going to turn on you.
Always talking about the Goddards. If you don't get the Goddards will get you. Something
well, that makes sense.
I don't know if it makes sense, but
I don't need to be got or get it or gotten. It doesn't matter.
I'm with Anthony. Whatever he said.
I like it. I've never seen any of the Madea films. You don't listen to the Beach Boys. I appreciate this cultural amalgamation that we're experiencing.
So
right
with
now.
All the changes in collegiate sports, Anthony.
Oh, man.
Are you going to follow it with the same enthusiasm as you always have?
I will follow with guarded optimism because you never know when the next change is going to come.
Who's your team, collegiately?
Well, I'll admit I like Oklahoma State. Football-wise.
Well,
sorry. I choose them over OU.
I can't stand Oklahoma.
Not that I can't stand Oklahoma State.
I've had family go to Oklahoma State. Did have some that go to OU. We prayed for them.
Did you ask them how long back has your family gone to Oklahoma State? What was the first year? Like, just an estimate.
It's been a while. As a matter of fact,
Just give me an estimate of the year. I need an estimate.
I'll give you another time frame. R.W. McQuarters.
So
that's a while.
What, 25 years?
Not that long.
20 years? 20 straight years of 8-4. How did your family feel about that?
I don't think it was 20 years of 8-4. I think you have your Cowboys mixed up between Oklahoma State Cowboys and Dallas Cowboys.
My point is, Anthony, 8-4 pretty much every year for Oklahoma State.
8-4, we could do it 8-4. As long as we beat OU every now and then, because catastrophic things have happened when OSU has beaten OU. One year, Lincoln Riley said, "You know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going out west." And now the people at OU call him Tebow and not Tim Tebow either. And we're not going to reference what that Tebow actually means.
I don't want
let's,
to.
Let's
is that a well done steak? Maybe.
Let's fact, Jeff.
You know what I mean. I'm not saying they've literally gone 8-4 every year.
Here's Oklahoma State.
They don't win anything that matters.
2008. Okay. So we'll go back close to 15.
Hold on.
A little more than 15 years.
Before you start.
Here's what they've done under Mike Gundy.
Can you hold on?
9-4.
I'm going to talk over you unless you hold on.
9-4.
9-4. Can I say something? Whatever you're about to do is only going to prove my point.
Okay.
So continue.
9-4 in 2008. Then 9-4, 11-2.
11-2.
12-1.
12-1.
8-5.
8-5.
10-3.
10-3.
7-6.
Ooh.
10-3.
10-3.
10-3.
10-3.
10-3.
10-3.
7-6.
7-6.
8-5.
8-5.
8-3.
8-3.
12-2.
12-2.
7-6.
7-6.
10-4.
10-4.
So in those 16 years, they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years better than 8-4.
Okay.
Out of those 16. That's not 8-4,
that
right?
Sounds better than 8-4. So I think he fact checked you that time.
I bet their average record's about 8-4. How many Big 12 championships?
That you didn't say anything about Big 12 championships.
What I said was they are a fraud, and they will continue to be a fraud until they actually win something of consequence.
They finished first in 2011. They tied for first in 2010. They've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There you go, Anthony. One outright championship in 17 years.
Seconds. They've had a bowl record since 2010 of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 1, 2, 3, 4. I think Mike Gundy has done a very good job as a coach of Oklahoma State.
He's done a better job coaching the team than he's had managing his hairdo.
Yeah, I'd go with that. Jeff just has something against Mike Gundy.
No, I don't. I could care less about Mike Gundy.
You could or couldn't?
I could care less.
You could? Well, then you must care something.
No, you don't. Man, I have to explain this to people all the time. It's a colloquialism. It's a turn of a phrase. It's not a literal phrase. I could give a crap. I could give two blanks.
Yeah,
about who
talks like that?
Normal people.
People with no education.
Normal people talk like that.
People who
is that a word?
Who last remember going to class in the seventh grade?
Who last remember R.W. McQuarters being
Here's
a
what
significant
the normal
piece
inflection
of,
is? I could care less.
Good. I could care less then. About Mike Gundy.
That be the case? Yeah, Cowboy.
It's the fact that we put them in the mix every year and think, oh, this might be okay. And then they might finish third.
They've had a very good run.
Of doing what?
If you want teams to win all the time.
No, I want them to win.
Oklahoma State in Stillwater, Oklahoma, to be at the level it is. It's pretty impressive.
So Norman, Oklahoma is some Metropolis?
Oklahoma's a much bigger school.
Okay, then let's Manhattan, Kansas. I mean, they're it's not like it's booming with these huge
K-State's had a good run. Not they haven't had that record over the last 16 years.
I actually kind of like KU, too.
Mike Gundy's had a better run than K-State's had over the last 16 years. So I don't know exactly what you're getting at.
I'm getting at what I always get at. I don't know how much clearer I need
not,
to say it.
You're trying to get at they're it, but you're not
that,
getting there.
They're a pretender. I mean, that's just all that Oklahoma State is and will ever be.
I just gave you their record. I think Anthony and I stand united.
What did they win? One big.
They won the Texas Bowl last year. They won.
Wow! Who'd they beat?
They won the Fiesta Bowl in 2021.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that's pretty good. They won the Cheez-Its Bowl, the Liberty Bowl, the Camping World Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, the Cactus Bowl, the Heart of Dallas Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, the Insight Bowl, and the Independence Bowl.
If you can name
all that under Mike Gundy,
if you can name
one pretty good run, right?
If you can name one opponent in any of those games, I'll give you $1,000.
Okay, you want an opponent
without clicking
in the 2021 Fiesta Bowl? They beat Notre Dame
without clicking anything.
That's pretty good, right?
So you don't remember that game.
In
next.
The 2011 Fiesta Bowl, they beat Stanford. In the 2015 Sugar Bowl, they lost to Ole Miss.
By a million.
In the 2016 Alamo Bowl, they beat Colorado. Good run. Congratulations, Mike Gundy.
I have a question.
I got something.
Go ahead, Anthony.
I got something for Bob from your wrestling guru, Scott Griffiths. Chad Gable is the Oklahoma State of wrestling.
Chad Gable's a major star. Thank you, Scotty.
He is? What does
Go
he
ahead.
Want?
Go for it.
I got a question with all these bowl games, and I'm pretty sure they're going to add another one. I mean, we got Cheez-Its. We got Pillsbury Doughboy bowl game. Won't they just have a bowl game at Arrowhead Stadium since they're going to lose the Chiefs and call it the Arrowhead Bowl?
That's not a bad idea, but they're going to tear down the Arrowhead Stadium, most likely.
In the words of a former K-State coach, that would be sad.
Have you been drinking that? What do you got in there? I mean, you said you drink juice. Juice can be defined in many different ways.
Is this a syrup?
I've known a lot of people who drink juice.
Scissorp? Is that what you got going on?
And eventually things go bad for them, if you know what I'm saying.
This is good old H2O, and this is good old H2O.
What's your favorite? What juice are you kind of liking right now? Last time you were here, you mentioned pineapple.
Pineapple, yeah.
With the smoothie. It was a smoothie, though. It got, like, spinach in it and stuff, right?
You could do that, you know, make it into a smoothie, or you could make it into a juice drink. Matter of fact, people, you know, you might not know this, well, both of y'all know this. There are some people that listen to this, but one of my musician friends said he was actually tuning in the last time I was on, and he hit me up on Facebook. It was like, hey, I need some ideas for some juice. So you never know who's out there listening.
You never do.
Yep. So his name is, it doesn't matter.
So I hope he's listening today.
I hope he's listening today, too. He'll let me know. He'll send me a message on Facebook.
And next I mean, time, you're part of your responsibility here is to build up our listenership.
That's right.
On the days you're on and even not.
That's
you're
right.
Supposed to be out there promoting.
Yeah.
The Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
I do.
And all of our programs.
I do.
Thank you.
People that listen to my podcast know, hey, I'm part of the KFH family now.
Yeah, this is a major family you're a part of here.
I tell the former people, you know, thank you for letting me get my start, but it's time to move on. I think one of them was kind of butthurt.
Yeah, you're on to bigger and better things, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, it's like
you got to step on people to get to the top.
Like starting in the, you know, in the minor leagues and getting to the big leagues.
Yep.
And I'm not going to be presumptuous enough to say we're the big leagues, but I'm kind of the big.
Hey, you know, League 42, so there's a
very
league
fragile
in there somewhere.
Say that again.
I said League 42, so in there's a league somewhere.
That's a big league organization, no question about it.
So we're in the big
league. Well, I like to think so.
Of course it
we
is.
We work very hard to make it that. And anyway, today I had a coach sign up on Facebook. He's going to bring his 8-year-old grandson, and he's going to coach in our Bruin division and our coach pitch division.
Coach pitch.
next year. That excites me beyond belief. I can't even tell you how cool that is when that happens. If you're interested, not talking to you guys, but talking to our listeners, in coaching in League 42, reach out to me. We can make it happen.
How many games does a League 42 team play?
Depends on the age group.
Man, I would love to coach in games. Practices would be hard.
Why?
I just don't have a whole lot of time.
You got the Allen Iverson mentality.
I would love to.
Well, that's kind of a – the practices are kind of important.
I know, but I don't think I could be a head coach for sure.
I mean, I've never heard that before.
What do you mean?
Just put me into the game.
I didn't say that. I didn't say just put me. I would say I would love to do that, but I don't think that's realistic.
Well, I don't understand it. I'll never understand it. Let's get to Ed. Ed's holding. Ed, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Oh, I'm doing great. Hey, I just wanted to give this little fact to Jeff that OSU has 34 Big 12 wrestling championships, numerous national ones. OU has
I love
three
Oklahoma State wrestling.
Oh,
yeah, we're talking about football here.
He is talking about football specifically, Ed.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry I turned in late then.
Are you satisfied with Mike Gundy?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I played there in the early 70s under Jones, so yeah. No biggie.
Well, there you go. And if you happen to run into Jeff on the street, just give him a forearm shiver.
He probably
can. And everything will be fine.
He played under Jones. That's serious
Pat
stuff.
Jones.
Yeah, Jones.
Pat Jones. You don't know who Jones is?
He played
Jones
under
is?
Pat Jones.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
You don't have any clue.
I love Pat Jones.
No, you don't. You don't even know who Pat Jones is.
He coached at Oklahoma State in the 70s. Duh.
He coached, yeah, he did. And he coached Barry Sanders, by the way. All right, we'll take a break. It's amazing what my son doesn't know.
Pat Jones?
Yeah, Pat Jones was after Jimmy Johnson, wasn't he?
The progression was Mike Gundy. Before that, Les Miles. You kind of forget about that. Bob Simmons. And before that, Pat Jones. Pat Jones, by the way, coached in the 80s, not the 70s.
Right.
Uh-oh, that guy didn't know when he played.
Where Ed Jimmy must have played under Jim Stanley.
And where was Jimmy Johnson at then?
Jimmy Johnson coached from 79 to 83.
So I would be correct.
Good job, Anthony. Pat Jones right after. Ed was testing us.
All right, we'll be back with Dylan Dreiling, standout from the College World Series from the University of Tennessee, Hayes native. He'll join us next.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Dylan Dreiling is with us. Standout baseball player from the University of Tennessee, from Hayes, Kansas. Just completed a fantastic sophomore season that ended with a national championship for the Volunteers and was highly instrumental in making that happen. Dylan, we're very happy to have you. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
We're very happy. Your grandfather, Frank Leo, has been instrumental around baseball in these parts for a long time. So before we get into your career, tell us a little bit about that relationship and learning from a guy who knows about as much baseball as anyone I've been around.
Yeah, it's cool. Started when I was little, probably 9 or 10 years old, I would go to BP with him and pick fly balls in the outfield and hit. And then I was the bat boy pretty much every game. So I was always around the field, and it taught me a lot, you know, just being around college guys all the time. And then I started getting older. I started playing with them a little bit when I was in town. And then same with my junior year. And then senior, after my senior year of high school, I played the whole summer with them. So really taught me a lot just about, you know, the game and everything around it.
So obviously, you know, you didn't just play in and win the College World Series. You personally starred in it and hit a lot of home runs, a lot of very meaningful home runs. Just curious what that feels like, because I know when you're in the box, you kind of have to turn the brain off a little. You want to be as stoic and calm in those moments as possible. But, you know, when that stuff actually happens to you, what goes through your mind and body?
Really nothing, honestly. A lot of those moments were, you know, pretty big moments, some of the biggest moments I've ever played in. And when it happens, you kind of just black out and you really don't, you know, take it all in until, you know, the week after or so. So when we were there, we were just, you know, focused on playing baseball. It wasn't thinking, you know, anything about it, really, just trying to win as many games as possible.
We're talking with Dylan Dreiling, standout player from the University of Tennessee. Just a remarkable year, 60-13 for the Volunteers. And here's what Dylan did in the NCAA tournament. 21-47 at the plate, 6 home runs, 15 RBIs in 12 games. If you want to get even more centralized, in the College World Series, 14-24 with 11 RBIs in 6 games, and in the 3-game best of 3 against Texas A&M, 7-12, 3 home runs, 1 in each game, and 7 RBIs. You got hot at an amazing time, and really you were hot all season. Just describe this sophomore year for you, Dylan, and how it's increase your awareness, and the awareness of people in the game of baseball about you.
Yeah, it was a special group of guys to be around all the time. We kind of all just fed off each other, honestly. You know, when your leadoff has one of the best stat lines in the country, it's pretty easy to, you know, just – we kind of all just went around him, I feel like, Christian Moore. It started with him, and he got on. We were rolling, so he was a big part in it. And then, you know, just 1-9, it was probably the best lineup I've ever been around or seen. Maybe not for my grandpa being around the Yankees back in the day, but it's for sure, it was a scary lineup, and we kind of just fed off each other.
184 home runs for Tennessee in 73 games. That's absolutely crazy, but it happened, and we saw it with our own eyes. Go ahead, Jeff.
So, you know, Dylan, as a freshman last year, you were more kind of pigeonholed in that platoon role. Didn't get a lot of opportunities against lefties, but did not have a hit against lefties. And then this year, you just dominate lefties. You dominate pretty much everybody. So was that something that took a lot of work? I got to figure out lefties and really put the time in? Or was that just a matter of you getting opportunities and knowing you could do it all along?
I would say I knew I could do it all along. It was more, some media outlets that said I probably, you know, couldn't hit lefties, blah, blah, blah. But there was never a doubt in my mind that I couldn't hit lefties, and I just had to, you know, keep working and keep seeing them, and it paid off this season.
Yes, Dylan, I'm looking at some of your credentials right here. 2024 ABCA All Southeast Region second team outfielder, 2024 All SEC first team outfielder. One thing to stick out also is academic honor roll, and that's one of the things that a lot of people don't talk about. So how do you manage balancing all the accolades in baseball and at the same time maintaining your academics?
Yeah, at Tennessee, academics is a, you know, huge role that you have to kind of take on. Being on a baseball team at Tennessee, you know, there's no skipping class, none of that. You're getting all your homework done, and that's a our academic counselor for baseball, she's unreal. She did so much for us all year long, and you know, make sure we're kept in line in the classroom, and she's a huge part of it. And then really just, you know, going to class and, you know, getting my work done. I just tried to balance it as well as I could with baseball, and it worked out for me.
Talking with Dylan Dreiling, standout player at Tennessee from Hayes, Kansas. I want you to talk about your coach, because Tony Vitello is a charismatic guy. What's it like playing for him?
It's awesome. You know, he's an unreal dude who another guy who he's your best friend and coach all in one. He's the ultimate player's coach. He wants to win as bad as anybody, and that really feeds into the entire team. And it's just, you can't really say enough about him. Such a good dude, and just wants to win as bad as anybody.
So I'm never 100% sure, Dylan, with sophomores, but you are draft eligible, right?
Yes, I am.
And I've seen, you know, lists where, you know, you might go in the top three or four rounds or so. You know, how do you prepare for something like that? What have you done since the offseason? I know you might get sent to an affiliate. Maybe you won't, depending on what happens. But how do you kind of stay ready? And where's your mindset with all of that right now?
I've just been doing the same thing I would do if I wasn't eligible, I guess. Hitting, lifting, just hanging out this summer, seeing what happens. I'm not really not on my mind that much because I'm in a really good position where I, you know, going back to Tennessee, who, you know, just won the first national championship, has been on the come up for the last, you know, 5-6 years with Coach Vitello. It's not a terrible option for me. So either way, whatever happens, happens, and I'm just trying to keep a clear mind about it.
What's the best thing about growing up in Hayes, America, and how did it become Hayes, America, in your viewpoint, Dylan? Because so many of us just refer to it as Hayes, America. What gives Hayes a special meaning for you?
I don't know. It's just a special place. The baseball's pretty good here with the Larks, and there's a lot of baseball guys here, and just athletics in general. You know, some of my best friends are Power 5 linebackers, and being all from the same class in Hayes, it's pretty special, and some that not a lot of classes here have done. So that's pretty cool, and, you know, I think we just all, helped each other out in high school with different sports and lifting and all that, and it paid off for all of us. So,
well, we are thankful that you came on the show today. We appreciate the efforts of Frank making that happen. We appreciate you agreeing to make it happen. We've enjoyed the conversation, and we'll certainly be following the rest of your baseball career. Thank you, Dylan.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Dylan Dreiling from the University of Tennessee, the standout player in the college baseball postseason.
He was it.
I mean, these are crazy numbers.
Yeah, insane. He just didn't cool off the entire run, the entire postseason.
In the super regional against Evansville, he was 1-for-10. Take that away, the kid was 20-for-37 in the other games. In the postseason,
20-for-47 or 21-for-47, still pretty darn good.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. It's almost 500.
Close.
I'll take it. I'm just pointing out.
I got
you. For some reason, Evansville handled him.
I don't know. That's why Evansville almost took him right to the wire.
Texas A&M didn't.
It sure didn't.
So it's a funny game, right?
I mean, he demolished a three-game winning two-run home run in the top of the seventh
against A&M.
And what's interesting in that series against Evansville, Tennessee scored 31 runs. That shows the depth and power of their lineup, because he did not do a whole lot in that series. Meanwhile, against Texas A&M, they scored 15 runs in three games, and he accounted for seven of them. I like baseball numbers. They fascinate me.
And there's another fascinating thing. When you look at what he did in the regular season and what he did in the postseason, how many times have we said players seem to disappear in the postseason, put up great regular season numbers, disappear in the postseason? Well, his numbers outshined his regular season numbers.
We call that clutch, Anthony.
We do.
I mean, only person you could really pin that to would be Mr. October.
They had Mr. November, Derek Jeter.
They had five players with 20 or more home runs. Just unheard of. Now, certainly they played some extra games. They played 73 games. But that's still remarkable. And it shows you the power of the SEC. While they were very good in the SEC, they did lose eight games in conference play. Just how good that conference is when it comes to baseball.
Yeah,
How many players with how many home runs?
They had five players with 20 or more home runs. They had eight players with double-digit home runs.
And that's why I say to this day, Wichita State was the pioneer in college baseball, because of what they did before baseball really got big in college. Think about those numbers that you used to put
up. I'll think about that, but college baseball was somewhat big, maybe not as big as
more
it
on the
became.
Coast than in the middle of the country.
But there were some iconic baseball players who played college baseball.
Of course. He's talking about how it became
important. Don't tell me what he's
important.
Talking about. Anthony's
misunderstood, so I'm going to try to help you.
He can tell me what he's talking about.
Well, obviously, you didn't get it, so that's on you, not Anthony, but I'm trying to help.
Think about it. Back in the days before they had the beautiful stadium, Wichita State was boat racing teams, like 25-2. 30 to
yeah, that no doubt.
30 points up in a baseball game. Wichita State was doing that, which is why they had to change the game a little bit. They had to go out and get pitchers, because that's when the saying came up: good pitching beats good hitting.
They had two of the greatest players in college baseball history very early in their baseball life at Wichita State: Joe Carter and Phil Stevens.
Right,
very early.
And when you think about,
didn't take them any time at all.
And when you think about it, who was putting money into baseball stadiums on college campuses until Wichita State started?
Yeah, good point. Let me make most of the good points from now on, okay?
Fragile.
What have you thought about actually being in the lion's den with the two of us today?
I feel like Daniel.
From Karate Kid? What am I missing?
I don't know, but Anthony's got these references that he gets them.
Oh, good.
And as long as he gets them.
Who's Daniel?
He was in the lion's den.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Didn't your mom and dad take you to vacation Bible school?
That's a biblical reference.
Okay. I think, yes, once I was at vacation.
Even Pastor Mike would have caught that one.
Boy, we miss Pastor Mike. You know, I think about him every once in a while, and just a great. He and Dennis are, in my opinion,
the two greatest
sports talk callers ever in Wichita.
You knew when Dennis was on the phone, because he would come in. I tell you what, I mean, that was his signature, and whatever he talked about, he pretty much knew what he was talking about.
He watched sports wall to wall.
Just a unique man, Dennis Lively, and of course Pastor Michael O'Donnell. And, I don't think sports talk radio has been the same in Wichita without them, frankly. I mean, it's just been, you know, there's been nobody to really carry that torch.
Jim 35?
Jim 35's great. We love Jim 35.
Where's he been, by the way?
I don't know. It's not my, I haven't looked
but
in
I'm
on
But I'm just
him.
Saying, when we go this long without hearing from him, you start
well,
to get.
Well, it'd be nice to hear from him. He may have some things going on.
Maybe he gave up on us, which is, you know.
Well, he would never give
be the
up
first
on me.
Fragile. But yes.
I mean, he just wouldn't. I've developed a relationship with Jim.
You have?
Sure.
What's his last name?
Well, I don't know. 35. 87.
Yep, that's it. You nailed it. Jim 3587.
Hut! Omaha.
Right. It's a good dude. But anyway, Anthony, we're glad you came over today.
I'm glad to be here.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
Probably not too much. Just taking it easy.
Nothing really to watch.
Got a full week of work next week, getting back into swing of things.
Well, there you go.
Same.
Now I'll be tuning in to St. Louis Cardinals baseball tonight because they've won me back, and they really never lost me. I'm addicted. I can't help it. It is what it is. And they got a four-game series against the Nationals in which they'll face four left-handed starters.
Crazy.
And they faced one yesterday.
Everybody but Irvin, I guess.
Yeah, he was good yesterday.
He was.
I hadn't seen him pitch that I remember. He was, I only watched a couple innings of that game.
He was electric.
But what do you mean? You didn't see it.
Hey, he struck out like 9 and 8 innings.
Did you see it?
I just watched the highlights. But no, I did not watch it. I was at work.
How'd work go yesterday?
It was fine.
Did you have the cookout?
Yeah.
Who showed up?
You know, there were 10 or so people.
Did you get to meet?
We sat at the tables that my wife and my daughter and I sat at the tables that TJ put out there. They had nice chairs and.
Did you get to meet
Josh
Jansen?
Nobody sat with us.
Nobody sat with.
Nobody
you.
Sat with us. They all bailed on me.
I could tell you who didn't show up. I didn't because I didn't get an invite. I would have said
this was for Channel 12 folks, but otherwise,
sat at the table with you.
I appreciate that.
Why didn't they sit with you?
They sat over by themselves. All the young folks, I think they were intimidated by us. I don't know what the deal was.
How about Ross Jansen?
Jansen didn't stay to eat.
They were being bougie.
Well, that's too bad.
Exactly.
Why didn't you go sit with them?
We were the first people out there.
Yeah,
and everybody else sat away from us.
I don't know what to think
and
about
it. TJ's listening, I'd like an explanation.
I'm not going to worry about it. TJ, you do what you got to do.
TJ's a good guy.
Yeah, he's 15 years younger than you, at least.
He's a nice person.
Got nothing to... Anyway, thanks for listening today, everyone. We'll be back next week. We'll see you Monday.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.